بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, once again it is only the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have been given the chance and opportunity again to listen to some talk of deen that inshallah should become a means of inspiration to us turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, we had been discussing some of his malfuzat. He has written so many kitabs on different subjects, tafsir, fiqh, history, tasawwuf, different sciences, tajweed, qiraat. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah has written on all these subjects. But in tasawwuf he has written different books in which he explains to us what is tasawwuf and in which he brings different malfuzat and wa'az and nasihat to help us to cleanse and purify our heart and bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we were discussing his malfuzat, and then he mentions, as I said, it is a tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given us this opportunity again to listen to some talk of deen. Like that he has quoted Hazrat Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi alayhi was the sheikh of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Haji Sahib rahmatullahi said that when a ruler becomes displeased with someone's presence in his court, when a king, a ruler, becomes naraz, he becomes displeased with someone's presence in his palace or in his court, then the question is, will this ruler allow such a person to enter his palace and court again? Obviously the answer is no. So Hazrat Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah says, never. So when you went for one salah to the masjid, which is the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter received guidance and tawfiq and the ability to go again for the next salat, then understand that your first salat has been accepted and you are also from the accepted ones. And for this we have to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We read our salat, salat al-isha, al-jama'at. Allah Ta'ala must give us the tawfiq of reading all our salat with jama'at. We're talking about the men and the women at home. We should not be delaying. We should be reading namaz on time. The fact that Allah gives us the chance to read our namaz or any ibadat for that matter, dhikr, tilawat of the Quran, listening to waaz, nasihat, it's a sign that Allah Ta'ala wants us to be from the accepted ones, from the maqbool ones. But that doesn't mean that we must look down upon any other person. No. We do not know what work somebody else has got, what duty, what task he's got. Some people are doctors, they have to operate or they go to see patients. Somebody is traveling the next morning, he has to go home early. Somebody has had a very long day, he's very tired. Somebody has got some function, some nikah to attend. The point is that we have been given a chance, that inshallah, there is a good sign that Allah Ta'ala has accepted our previous action, therefore he's given us a chance again to come. And for this we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we continue the malfuzat of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayh. Of course we're just selecting, there's so many. He mentions attaching hope on another person. Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh said, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh was also another giant, very great senior alim, faqih, pious sage. He used to say, do not attach any kind of hope and expectation with anyone. Do not attach any kind of hope and expectation with anyone. Even with me. Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh. We don't have time to explain who these people are, but inshallah, if Allah give us tawfiq, we will be discussing the biographies, brief biography of all these akabi, so we appreciate the malfuzat. Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that don't attach any hope or expectation with anyone, even with me. In other words, do not hope for anything from any person. This is the essence of one's deen and dunya. If this is a person's condition, that he doesn't have hope upon any person for anything, he will be free from anxiety and grief. Now, most of our anxiety, our grief, our worries and problems is because we have attached hope and expectation on a particular person. Simple examples. An ustad in the madrasa, he's got students, but one particular student is very brilliant, very hardworking, and he's doing very well. So there are certain expectations this ustad has on that pupil, and he feels that he will pursue his course and he'll finish this kitab and go to that grade and he'll do that course and he'll become this and he'll become that. And he has high hopes that this is going to be a model student for our other pupils, and he's going to bring us a lot of honor and respect. We have produced such a pupil. And suddenly, before the course can even terminate, is 1 or 2 years left, suddenly this pupil leaves and he goes somewhere else. Now what happens? The teacher feels all his effort was made on this person and now he just left us. No, this should not be the case. You should not have hope on any person. This person left, there was a taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be rewarded for the effort you made. You should not feel that he is going to do this for you and he is going to bring that to your madrasa and those type of things. No. Another example, a person has a shop. He's got some business. He's got one person working for him and he's doing very well. He knows exactly what goods to purchase. He's a very good salesman. Now you place all your hopes on this person. It's now December coming. So I got this man, I got no worry. And he'll sort everything. Comes November, suddenly he leaves work. Now you pareshan. Why? All your hopes and expectation was on this one person. Our hopes and expectation must only be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, if you have your hopes on Him, then He will make a plan for you. If there's some problem, Allah ta'ala will replace the person. But when we have hopes and expectation on makhluk, husband has expectation on his wife. Allah protect us, Allah give us barakat and bliss and happiness. Or the wife has expectation on the husband. And suddenly something goes sour, something goes wrong. And now, there's a break in the marriage. Husband becomes shattered. That he has so much of hopes on this wife of his. Or somebody has hopes and expectation he's going to marry a certain girl. Of course, we're not encouraging in any way to have some affair before getting married. But if it was understood, the family is understood that this person, or he will get married to a certain girl, and suddenly she gets married to somebody else. Many people, they become so full of grief and depressed. They suffer depression. Why? Because they had hopes that they would marry that certain person. Now suddenly she's married off somebody else. Now, therefore, that Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that this is the essence of one's deen and dunya. What? That do not have or place any hope or expectation on any person for anything. Yes. If you did not have hope and somehow something came in your way, which is of your benefit, then make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not have expectation, it will come. Unexpected it came to you, how happy you will become. But when you expected it and it did not come, now you become full of anxiety and grief. Now you begin to panic. Now what do we do? Where do we go? See, there's a very simple nasihat which applies to us on a daily, on every single day, on all our activities. Then Hazrat gives another malfuz, he says, shun that which is non-beneficial. Shun that which is not, which has no benefit, whether it's worldly benefit or dini benefit. If there's no benefit, then leave that, discard it, shun it. A person who does this will enjoy his life and will achieve the goodness of both worlds. Plenty of time is wasted in non-beneficial acts. This is what we call la ya'ni. Things which are futile, doesn't concern us. That person's grandfather, there's some problem or something. We are so inquisitive and we want to know exactly what happened, how it happened, when it happened, why it happened. We just want information. Why? To appease our nafs, and then we want to broadcast. Those are all futile things, does not concern us. Why do you want to know what that fellow had for supper? That's his business. If he went with his family somewhere, now we want to ask him exactly where he went, what time he left, where, who he met, when he arrived. That is not our concern. We should worry about our own selves. So much of time is wasted in futile matters. Hazrat is saying here, shun that which has no benefit even in worldly or a dini activity. So not only dini activity, even a worldly, there's no worldly benefit for you. Then you should not bother about that particular action. These are all known as la ya'ni. Rasulullah has mentioned, min husni islam al mar' tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. The beauty of a person's Islam is that he discards all those things and matters and activities that do not bother and concern him. Very similar, Malfooz Hadith has mentioned, the result of futility. This is the person who spends his time in pursuing futile things will never be inclined towards the necessary things. Person who spends his time in pursuing futile things will never be inclined towards necessary things. This is proven through experience. Person has a shop and you are supposed to be working in the shop. Now instead of serving those customers, you are busy doing such things in the shop that is not going to be any benefit for the shop or to the customers or to the shopkeeper or to the sales. Now you doing your own things, worry about some other activity. So many times a person is employed and he is expected to do his work, but he is busy chatting on the phone, worry about somebody else, and that happened in the world news, international news, local news, sports news, and all the time is going away. This is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore these mashayikh mention these small points which are not small, which are very, very big in our lives, but we tend to ignore. Therefore, shun that which is non-beneficial. Whether it is going to be beneficial in dunya or your akhirat. If it's not going to be beneficial, then you discard it. Then he says, sleep and feeling sleepy. Of course, not in the bayan. If one becomes sleepy while reading, studying, students, or even if a person reading nafil at home, making ibadat, especially in Ramadan or in any other, sometimes it's a big night, Mubarak night, we're trying to stay awake the whole night. As I say, if one becomes sleepy whilst reading, while studying, while praying, then simply place your head on a pillow and sleep. So simple. Once you feel fresh, begin studying again. If one keeps on fighting sleep, the mind will be harmed. As the Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi was mujaddid millat. He knew exactly what will be the harms, the physical harms of such a person, that you're fighting your sleep, you're trying to study, you've got so much to complete before the paper, now you're just pushing everything into your head, but you're not studying with concentration now. Your eyes may be half open, you're trying to study, your mind is not there. So the simple solution to that is, take a pillow and go to sleep. When you have slept, and then you are fresh, now you wake up. And now you study. Such a person's imagination will run wild at times. Many times because of lack of sleep. A person's imagination will run wild at times. And sometimes he will consider these imaginings to be ilham, divine inspiration. You find many people, they will write certain things. They will actually think that they dreamt certain things. And the dream may be very beautiful. But because the person has not slept sufficiently, this is the effect, that the person will begin to imagine things. And these imaginations will come into his mind. And he will actually believe in these things. And he will see things which are just imagination of his mind, not true. And he'll think that he saw this dream, and he'll think he saw this. As it says here, he will feel that this is ilham to him, divine inspiration, thus considering himself to be a buzurg or a saint. The end result will be insanity. The brains become khushk. Sometimes when a person makes too much dhikrullah also, without the permission of his sheikh or guidance of a sheikh, on his own, he read some kitab so many thousand times, must read this wazif or that, and so many times Yasin Sharif and this, and so much tilawat you must make. And the poor lady or the poor man, they make so much of dhikr, the brains become dry. Now the person is unable to sleep, is unable to eat properly, becomes weak. What's the end result? Insanity. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Rasulullah has mentioned, has also advised us in the following words. La tafreeta fil nawm. Do not decrease sleep. Do not sleep less than the required amount. So whatever the required amount, sleep that amount. And then of course you go to work also, and your other activities you have, your ibadat, your eating, etc. But if a person is not going to sleep well, then he will not be able to function well. Dua not sufficient for islah. Everybody wants his islah, his reformation to take place. In other words, we all want to have pure hearts, we want to become pious, we want to become Allah wala. We have many deficiencies, weaknesses, sins, vice, evil. And we are fed up of all that. Now we want our islah. Islah simply means reformation. How do we go about all that? So sometimes we tell this Mawlana or the Buzrug or the Shaykh, whoever, Hazrat, make dua for my islah. Thinking that he'll make dua and our islah will take place. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah says, dua is not sufficient for islah, for spiritual reformation. One has to adopt the ways and means to have children. Dua does not suffice. Nobody goes to say, Hazrat, make dua, get children. But there's a need for a husband and wife. The man is not married and he says, Hazrat, make dua, get children. So it happened. Somebody wrote Hazrat Thani Ramatullah, Hazrat, dua karna, get a child. And after seven, Hazrat making dua for him. After a couple of letters writing, Hazrat says, bhai, shadi hui hai ki nahi? He said, no, Hazrat, I'm still looking for a wife. So how can you ask for a child when you're not even married? In a similar vein, how can you expect your islah to take place when you're just asking for dua? Yes, dua and dawa. Make the dua also because Allah Ta'ala guides. And you got to take that medication as well. You go to the panel beater for your car and you say, you know, try and sort this thing out. But you don't want the panel beater to do anything to the car. You may just leave it. Probably you must talk to the car and say how he will panel beat the car. But you don't want him to do it. So it will remain in that condition. So we got to make dua. And with the dua, we have to apply and adopt the ways of our islah. Then and only then, our islah will take place. And the islah does not take place overnight. It takes place over several months, several years. A lot of effort. Sometimes something comes right, and then there's some weakness somewhere else. So we've got to sort that as well. It continues. But Allah Ta'ala makes it very, very easy. Allah Ta'ala makes it very easy. And Allah Ta'ala covers our weaknesses for us. Allah Ta'ala gives us the strength. Allah gives us tawfiq. Allah gives us that shu'ur and awareness and realization that I got to make my islah. Otherwise our lives will go past and we won't even realize that I'm not well. Spiritually I'm sick. My heart is dead. And I need some change in my life. Another malfooz Hazrat says, the secret behind unity. We all want to be united. We don't really have any enemies or enmity with any person. Especially with family. As I say, the secret behind unity is not to burden anyone. So much so, that do not take work from your brother's employees. It is possible that it is not liked. Person has got some work. So then, he should do it himself. But don't use your brother's employees to do your work. Maybe the first time my brother didn't mind, second time, third or fourth time, you see, now my brother is taking advantage. Now, I got these people to do my work, and now he's just taking them away. So what's going to happen? He's going to become upset. He's going to become angry. He might say a couple of words to you, and you might feel very offended. What's going to happen? Disunity will come about. Rasulullah mentioned in the hadith, Izhad fi dunya yuhibbuk Allah. If you become ascetic, in other words, you break aloof from, or you detach yourself from the world, from the things of the world, Allah will love you. In other words, when your heart is not attached to dunya, the vanities of dunya, then Allah will love you. Why? Allah wants you to be attached, your heart to be attached to Him, not to dunya. And then Allah, Rasulullah said, وَزْهَدْ فِي مَا عِنْدَ النَّاسِ يُحِبَّكَ النَّاسِ. Detach yourself from the material things of people, people will love you. Simple explanation. If you keep on pestering somebody, well, lend me your car, lend me your car, I need to go here, I need to go there. And you keep on worrying him and bothering him for his car. After some time, he say, this guy is a mafatyo. Every time coming and borrowing, can't he get his own car? So people won't like you. But when you don't pester people, they'll welcome you. They'll like you. This guy is not going to worry me for anything. It's a logical thing. So Hazrat says that if you want to be united, then don't become a bogh upon any person. Don't become a burden upon any person. Don't become a parasite upon any person. Don't keep on, yes, if you require something urgently and that person has got it, you ask, no problem. But don't keep on pestering him. Then as I say, also pay for an object, no matter how small it may be. Now this is something very, very important. Whether the person is a sheikh, can be a sheikh at tariqah, can be a mufti of the time, can be the imam of the masjid, it can be an alim, it can be a qari, it can be any person. You go somewhere, you pay for the object. Don't go and look where I'll give it for free or very cheap. It's common. Yes, somebody might have muhabbat for the alim and give him something out of his own will, something free or something discounted. But that alim should not go deliberately and now look where he can get for free. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was very, very, very particular on this matter. He will pay those people who are with him. Of course, all of us had some experience. That he will make sure he pays for the person. He will insist. Yes, if that person still doesn't want to take at all and he feels very offended, and Hazrat somehow will give him back. If a doctor had seen any person, had seen Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, or some family member, and if they did not want to charge because of the ta'alluq, the muhabbat they had, then after some time, Hazrat would send a gift to the doctor. So in this way, you show that this person is not just taking everything for free. One is the murideen, or the students of an alim, of an ustad, or the musallis, or somebody does something out of muhabbat. But your eyes as a person should never be on the pockets of any person. Never. That he'll take me for Umrah and he'll pay for my tickets and I can fly anywhere and he'll keep on paying for me? No. Tomorrow something goes bitter and sour, what happens? This guy will turn on, I used to pay for his tickets and I used to pay his rent and he should just take all the groceries from my supermarket. You see? So we don't know who's genuine, who's loyal, who's got genuine muhabbat. Sharia tells us that we should be independent. Be independent. Sahaba-i-Kiram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, went to that level where the Sahabi was riding and if his whip had to fall off whilst he's riding, he won't let anybody pick up his whip even. He'll come down himself and pick it up himself. This is what you call istighna'iyat. In tasawuf, it's called istighna'iyat. To be independent. If you depend on every other person, then you'll always be muhtaj. And then the problem is, now this person who is always seeing you, or giving you a nice pay, salary, or check, whatever it is, or giving you free groceries, or whatever it may be, or you go to his petrol station, and he's filling petrol for you for free, what's going to happen? Tomorrow he has some problem with Mr. B. Now he comes to you. Now how you are put in such a situation, because if I'm going to tell him no, you are wrong, he's going to get very offended. And now no more he'll fill petrol for me. I'm just giving examples, please. I'm not, wallahi, I've got no person in mind or anything. These are general things which happens. Hazrat Anjur Ahmad was mentioning these things. Hazrat used to mention to us, you keep on telling us, yes, somebody got muhabbat now, say, Mawlana, I give you hadiyah, how you took it? You know, person gives hadiyah, you accept it, you know him, you got ta'alluq with him, then it comes in a kitab, you should accept it. But you should not have your eyes focused and your gaze on other people's khazana, or their monies, or their properties, no. So, as I say, also pay for an object no matter how small it is. Small thing, you pay for it. The wise amongst the Arabs have said, live with each other like brothers, but deal like strangers. When it comes to living together, mu'asharat, that you live like ikhwan, like brothers. you lend, you give him preference, you make his khidmat, you be generous. But when it comes to deals, transactions, even if he's your blood brother, she's your blood sister, then have everything written down. Deal as though he's a stranger. Neither because he's your brother or he's your father or he's your son or uncle. Why? Because anything can go wrong there. And if that deal goes sour, the transaction does not work out well, then kalas, you break all ties with the person. And now you say, you go your way, I go my way. And his wife won't speak to that person's wife. And eat day to you won't meet in any function you're not meeting in kalas. Therefore, Hazrat Rahmatullah gave Tani Rama said, the secret behind unity is what? That do not burden any person. When it comes to paying anything, you pay for it no matter how small it is. Live with each other like brothers, but you must deal like strangers. Punishment for disgracing the ulama. Please, I'm not saying this because I don't regard myself as an alim. We're just students of deen. But Hazrat Thani Ramadhan has mentioned this thing. And these are things that apply to us. Most of us get caught in these small, small things. And believe me, we are destroying our amal. All the noor we're accumulating just gets destroyed. We don't get happiness in our life. Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, people who disgrace the ulama, insult and taunt them, their faces will be turned away from the Qibla in the graves. I'll repeat. People, this is not a hadith, this is Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali's Malfuz. He says, people who disgrace the ulama, insult and taunt them, their faces will be turned away from the Qibla in the graves. Thereafter, Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali said, whoever wishes, may go and see. Whoever wishes, go and see. He won't just see anything just like that. Allah Ta'ala had given them ilham. And they had experiences. Now, many times we get caught up in these type of things. If ulama are having their differences, why should it affect us? In most cases, we're not asking for a genuine mas'ala that's affecting us. If you have that problem, then the mufti you normally ask, who you got confidence in, you ask him and you follow him. A reputable mufti, a person who is pious, sincere, he's knowledgeable, he's not after dunya or anything. Yes, you follow him. And he, whatever fatwa he gives you, finish. Most of our occasions, functions, you go to any wedding function, or nikah, or whatever it is, or some dawat, or Friday after Jummah, or Eid day, what's the topic? That Maulana, he's saying this. Hey, what the Maulvis are saying? What that Mufti is saying? Hey, there's trouble in the camp there. That's all we know. We are destroying our own amal. If you're not happy to read somebody's literature, then you don't read it. But you don't condemn the person. You do not know in the eyes of Allah, what is his position. We do not know what effort that man is making day and night. What the level of his taqwa is. If there are weaknesses in that particular alim, between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you greater than him to go make his islah? And if you have that ta'alluq with the person, you have that friendship, you are able to talk to him, then on different levels you can speak to him. But what benefit is now in public and now you try and cause more friction in society, when you just take out this argument about, she's a Maulana, this Mufti is saying this, and that Maulana is saying this, and he's writing this. Not going to benefit us. And many people look for faults in ulama. Now, I'm not defending, but the point is, that ulama are human beings. Yes, Allah forgive us for all our shortcomings. It's very easy to sit here and give malfuzat, but I promise you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows very well that we feel so guilty. Looking at our amal and looking at the amal of the people, so higher they are. MashaAllah, what ibadah the musallis make, and the muqtadis make, and the ummah is making. And therefore we keep on reminding ourselves on the day of Qiyamah, Allah, one of the very first questions Allah will ask, Mada amilta bima alimta? What amal you did with the knowledge that you had received. Therefore it's something very, very worrying for us as well. But we have no right whatsoever to condemn ulama. Never. You would never find Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali in life condemning ulama. Keep on defending and covering up for them. Why? He knows the result, the nuksan of that, if we're going to taunt ulama.
There are many people who don't like ulama at all. You see in the writings all the time. They look for some masala, there's some problem, they'll harp on that issue. Instead of focusing on their lives, on their own heart, and in society in general, to become people who become Allah walas. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Our lives must not be spent in worrying about everybody else and we forget ourselves. We have to now make a serious, concerted effort on now cleaning our hearts from all malice, jealousy. Those people who do not treat ulama properly and who ridicule ulama, Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Ali, there were many people who ridiculed them. In his lifetime, they suffered such zillat, humiliation, such problems. Many of them came back and they asked him for maaf and forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala deprives that person's family from gaining ilm. Those who keep on ridiculing and mocking ulama, you'll find that their children won't love ulama. They won't become huffaz. They won't become ulama themselves. They'll be mahroom of ilm. Now do we want to do that? If you're not happy with some person, then you don't worry about that. You ignore it. We have to do what we have to do. One more malfooz, inshallah. The intention when counting money, all of us count money. And those who are businessmen, what niyat you must make when you're counting money? You lend somebody some money, or you bought something, or somebody is paying for some goods that you sold to him. As Imam Thani Rahman says, when taking money from someone and counting it, make the intention that you want to ensure that no extra money of that person has come into your possession. Let's be honest, why do we count? We want to see, give me short or not. You say, wait, let me just check properly. Sometimes we have that machine that counts the money, still we're not satisfied, still we'll count it ourselves again. Hazrat Thani Rahman says, when you're counting somebody else's money, count with this niyat, that this brother mustn't overpay me. So if he overpaid me, that money will come into my possession, not jayaz for me. So quickly I must give it back to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah ta'ala guide us. May Allah ta'ala make this deen easy for us, the shariat, the sawuf, tariqat, all the same thing. May Allah ta'ala make this pathway towards him easy and enjoyable. We all are full of sins and weaknesses. Nobody is perfect. The person feels he is perfect, well then, he's in a different level. We all are weak. Allah created us weak. Allah knows our weaknesses, our shortcomings. All these things are part of akhlaqiyat, mu'asharat. When we live and deal with people, how we should behave, how we conduct ourselves. We don't deceive any person. We don't cheat any person. We don't give any person short. How we speak to the person. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanakallahu wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.